Easter. We've just celebrated Easter. So the last time I was here was Palm Sunday, the day Jesus rode in on the donkey into Jerusalem and declaring to all present that he was indeed the promised Messiah. Remember that? It's a few weeks ago now. As I prepared for Easter this year, because it's like Easter, I think I said this last time I was here, Easter and Christmas, they're kind of like same old, same old. It's hard to not be same old with it because you've heard the story so many times. Does anybody find that? And I find myself every year kind of going, God, give me something fresh. Give me something new because I've heard this so many times. Don't let me kind of lose sight of what Easter is and Christmas. And as I was preparing this year, I was challenged just to slow down. You know, life gets so busy and I'm very good at buzzing around. I've been accused of being like a blowfly on speed. So I buzz around and my husband sometimes calls me either spack filler, Shelley's no more gaps, because whenever there's a gap in the calendar, I fill it. So like, as he says, you're my spack filler, you're my Shelley's no more gaps. And if anybody says, have we got something on, he says, ask the diary. So I'm really good at buzzing around and doing a lot. And this year I was really challenged just to slow down and just really consider in a deeper level what Jesus' death and resurrection bought for me. I mean, like I said, we all know the story, right? We all know that Jesus died to take away our sins. We all know that we have eternal life and that we're going to live with him in paradise one day. And we talk about it. We come to church and we sing about it. And we'll tell anyone who wants to listen or anyone who asks us. But do we take the time to let that drop from here, from what we know here, down into here? Do we really stop and just kind of think about it? So as I pondered that, I was reminded about Jesus' encounter with blind Bartimaeus. You remember the story? Again, another story we're all pretty familiar with. He heard about Jesus. He knew what Jesus has offered. And this occasion, when he has an opportunity to get a personal audience with Jesus, he makes sure he gets one. So that's the story we're going to consider this morning. So please turn with me into Mark chapter 10. And we're going to pick it up at verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus is traveling into Jerusalem for Passover. And as we know, he was preparing for his death and resurrection, which was going to happen in a few days' time. He's traveling with a large group of people. There would have been a lot of people around him. Some fellow pilgrims on their way to celebrate Passover, and others were following him because they'd seen his miracles, they'd seen what he's done, and they were believing in him, and they were following him. They wanted to be around this amazing teacher who was doing amazing things. And they had tried to make him king once before. Now he's coming in, and he's declaring that he's Messiah, so they're wanting to be there as part of this. We're going to be there when he becomes king, when he takes over the Roman rule and overthrows all them and establishes his kingdom. We're going to be there with him. And many of them are going to be among the crowd singing Hosanna and waving palm branches and all that sort of stuff. Now, for anyone making the journey into from Galilee down to Jerusalem, which is where Jesus was going, the most direct route was straight through Samaria. But remember, the Jews hated the Samaritans. So they would go the long way around because there's no way they were going to walk through Samaria. So they would go right out around past Samaria instead of going straight up the middle there. They'd walk right up through around the long way. So Jericho is 846 feet below sea level. So that made the final climb up into Jerusalem quite long and quite difficult. So many of the travellers actually stopped in Jericho on their way through to rest and prepare for the final part of the journey. Jericho is a place of contrasts. It's a city known as, it's known as the City of Palms, and it is considered an absolutely beautiful place. Well-known Jewish writer Josephus describes it as the most fruitful country of Judea. It bears vast number of palm trees besides the balsam trees, whose sprouts they cut with sharp stones. At the incisions they gather the juice, which drops like tears. It's all very poetic. It's a beautiful place. It's a lovely destination. The royals used to build extravagant palaces with swimming pools and gardens and go there for the holidays. It was just a beautiful place to be. It was one of the busiest trade routes in the ancient world. But despite its beauty and its riches, the streets are lined with beggars, one of whom we know as blind Bartimaeus. As Jesus and his disciples left the town of Jericho, the crowd around him was making a lot of noise. No doubt there was a lot of conversations about Jesus and who he was and what he was about to do. And Bartimaeus would have known that Jesus, known about Jesus, he would have heard about his miracles, and let's face it, he needed one himself. Now, the irony here is the name Bartimaeus, his name means place of honour. But he was far from being in a place of honour. He was an outcast. He was blind. He was reduced to begging by the side of the road. But his name means place of honour. He's sitting here now begging, perhaps hoping for some extra money because there was extra crowd, people in the crowds coming down for Passover. And he realises Jesus is in the crowd. So he does the only thing that makes sense. He calls out to Jesus. Verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the original Greek word that Mark uses here, that we have translated as cry out, is much more than a weak kind of alms for the poor, or a half-hearted, "Jesus, is that you?" in the crowd. It was a shriek. It was a cry. It's an undignified, no-holds-barred shout at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowds around Jesus try to shut him up. Now, Mark simply writes that they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But I reckon it was probably more, "Sure, shut up. Who do you think you are? Stop calling out to him. Leave him alone. Beggar, get out of here." This only made him more determined, and he called out even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. We know this because he called him Son of David. In other words, he was saying Messiah. He knew the messianic prophecies. The Messiah was here. He knew. He knew what Jesus had to offer. And he was not going to miss out. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Messiah, I know who you are. Come, I need you." And it worked. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Now, the cloak Bartimaeus throws off is very likely his only possession. He's a beggar. He's not got much at all. So his cloak is probably his only and most prized possession. It would have also been his shelter. It would have been what he wrapped himself in to protect himself from the weather and at night. When Jesus says, "Come," he wastes no time. He jumps to his feet, he throws aside everything that he has, scatters the coins, and hurries to Jesus. Now, Jesus' next words might seem somewhat strange. Bartimaeus, the blind man, sitting begging for alms, is now kneeling at his feet, and Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" You almost hear the crowd scoffing, can't you? Like, "Can't you see he's blind? What do you think he wants? Come on." But there's something deeper going on here. Jesus is inviting Bartimaeus to express his faith and his belief in Jesus. Now let's press pause there just for a moment. We can jump back a few verses. Go back to verse 32, same chapter, verse 32. Jesus explains to his disciples all that's about to happen to him. And it's quite a clear explanation. He says, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." There's no ambiguity here. It's pretty clear what's about to happen. And yet, it seems that the seriousness of what Jesus has just said is lost on them. I mean, he's just said, "Hey guys, I'm about to go through this horrible, torturous death." And he's barely finished saying that. And James and John pull him aside with a question. They say to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Jesus asks the same question that he asked Bartimaeus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Now their response, quite different to Bartimaeus, is one of pride and self-gratification. They ask Jesus, effectively, to make them his second and third in charge. They say, "Put us on your left and on your right when you come into your kingdom." They're shuffling positions of power. They're saying, "When you're there, we want to be either side. We want to be your second and third in charge. We want a special place. We want power and authority. We know you can give us that because that's you've told us you're going to have a kingdom, so we want to be there right with you." Like Bartimaeus, these guys were blind. Difference is, Bartimaeus is physically blind. These guys are spiritually blind. All they're in it for is what they can get out of it and positions of power. They've missed the whole point of everything that Jesus has been saying in the last 3 years. And they're saying, "Hey, when you're the boss, make us in a position of power with you." They just didn't get it. So coming back to our story, back to verse 51. Bartimaeus is unperturbed by Jesus' question and he responds, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed along the road. When Bartimaeus initially called out to Jesus, back a couple of verses, he called him Son of David. He acknowledged him as Messiah. Now he uses the word Rabbi or Rabboni, depending which translation you have in front of you. That means master, means teacher. Mary's the only other person in the Gospels who uses that. Remember at the garden? Rabboni, she says. It's an expression of faith. It's an expression of servanthood. Basically, Bartimaeus is saying to Jesus, "I know you're the Messiah, Son of David, I know you're the Messiah, and I know that you can heal me. I know that you can do this for me." At this expression of faith, Jesus is moved with compassion and Bartimaeus is healed. And out of his gratitude for what Jesus has just done, he follows the crowd, he joins them and he sings praises and he glorifies God with them. The Greek word, again, the Greek word that Mark uses, that we have translated as healed, it means more than physical healing. It's a bigger word than that. So much is lost in translation when we bring it into our English. In this case, it's not just physical healing. It's so much more. It means to be saved. He was saved from his physical blindness, but he was spiritually saved as well. I want to leave you this morning with a few questions to ponder. The first is this. How desperate are you when you call out to Jesus? Do you shout it from the top of your lungs? Do you fall on your knees? Do you call out from the depths of your soul, Jesus, I need you. I need you, Messiah, Lord, Savior. I need you. Or do you perhaps hold back, unsure if he's going to hear you anyway? One day as I was talking with a staff member at work about praying, we were just talking about some stuff that was going on, and I said, oh, you want to pray? She was like, no point, God's too busy, he's not going to hear me anyway. Now, we might not say those words ourselves, but does the way we approach our prayer indicate that that's what is in our hearts? Do we actually come with our needs, our big needs? Do we actually say, oh, I need you, I'm desperate? Or do we kind of just bring the little stuff because that's probably easier, he's probably a bit busy? Or perhaps like the crowd, or perhaps you've allowed the crowd to shut you up. Bartimaeus didn't. Perhaps somebody said to you, oh, you can't pray for that. I've had that said to me before, you know, when you talk about praying for something and it's like, oh, that's, you shouldn't be asking God for that. Car park spaces, you know, shouldn't be asking God for that. Don't bother him with that. I had another staff member, I have a lot of conversations with staff members, it's wonderful. We were talking one other day and she was talking about, she was saying, you better pray for the big stuff. Don't bother him with the little stuff. And I said, well, what have you got that's big? So she told me about that. And then I said, so what's the little stuff? And she said, oh, no, don't worry, just he's busy enough. Just give him the big stuff. I'll handle the little stuff myself. Do we do that sometimes? We give him the big stuff, but we just look after the little stuff ourselves. We let the crowd kind of drown us out. Jesus sees you, as he did with Bartimaeus, and he says, come. When you cry out to him, when you fall on your knees and you say, Savior, I need you, he says, come. Come. Tell me what you need. Bartimaeus threw off his cloak because it would have been a hindrance. It would have been a trip hazard. He's blind. He doesn't need this thing at his feet getting in the way. He doesn't want to trip over that. It's going to stop him getting to Jesus. What are the trip hazards and hindrances that you need to get rid of to stop you getting to Jesus? Have you got like a security blanket that you wear around? Don't let anyone in. Don't let anyone see. What do you need to throw off that gets in the way in between you and Jesus? And when Jesus asks you, what do you want me to do for you? What's your answer? Do you need your sight restored? Have you lost your vision? It might not be physical sight. Maybe you just can't see where you're going at the moment. Maybe things aren't making sense. You can't see the next step. Show me. Open my eyes. Maybe you need to be spiritually sight restored. I can't see. Show me. Maybe it is physical healing or emotional healing, a broken relationship. He wants us to tell him, what do you want me to do for you? He wants us to speak it because even though he knows it, like with blind Bartimaeus, I mean, it was obvious he was blind. He knows what we need. But he is presenting us with an opportunity to make a declaration of faith. He's presenting us with a chance to come and say, Lord, I just need this, and I know you can do it. That's what he wants. How do you respond to that? Do you follow him? Bartimaeus didn't just receive his healing and go on his merry way. Hey, I'll go get a job now, and I can do this, and I can do that, because I can see. No, he followed Jesus. He joined the crowd. He joined the praise and worship. And that's what we're invited to do. We're invited to follow him, to stay with him, to not just run off and do whatever we can now that we've been healed, but to follow him. As you think over these questions, I'm going to let Bartimaeus tell you his story for himself. Jesus says, come. What will your response be? Will you come and kneel at his feet? Will you name him as Messiah and tell him what it is you need, what it is you want? And will you follow him? Will you worship him? Will you stay with him on the journey all the way to paradise? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Messiah, Saviour, Son of God, holy and righteous. In you is all we need. In you is all we could ask for. Forgive us for the times when we fail to ask. Forgive us for the times when we hold back. You invite us to come and for whatever reason we don't. Forgive us for those times. Lord Jesus, as we pause here this morning and you say come, we simply sit at your feet and we say, here is what I need. We lift up to you our hearts, our spirits, our woundedness, our brokenness, our blindness, broken relationships. We throw off all the hindrances. Help us to put them aside. Help us to get rid of the things that come between us and you. And open our eyes to see if there are things that we are unaware of, if we're carrying things or allowing things to come between us and you, and maybe we've just gotten so used to them being there we've forgotten or we don't notice. Open our eyes to see those, because here in this moment, we don't want anything to come between us and you. We want a fresh touch from you this morning. Come, Lord Jesus, be our Saviour, our Messiah, our Healer, our Redeemer. Touch our hearts and lives afresh once again, we pray. In the amazing, powerful, wonderful name of yours, Lord Jesus. Amen.